even go there. I hope you folks have some realization of the sacrifice. We had 17 folks leave here Friday morning, went out and had prayer with them and wished them well. And sacrifice perhaps you're not aware of that they made. They have had to go 2 days without cell phones. Most people now would gladly go without food
for 2 days rather than go without their cell phone for 2 days. In fact, any sorts of no computers, that's why there hadn't been anything on Facebook. We put some stuff on right after they left, but nothing from them because they can't do it. And they are living the life, and they're going to come home with some stories that will be good for our church, good for them and good for our church. Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And we're going to look at a snake this morning. Snakes are mentioned throughout the Bible, and in every instance that I can find, they're evil, and normally always connected, of course, with the devil himself. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, and again in Revelation, he is called a serpent. That old serpent, the devil, or Satan. And animals are an amazing thing in the Word of God. I didn't realize until I began to research this some time ago, but there are 138 different kinds of animals and birds and fish and insects and all mentioned in the Bible. And some amazing illustrations. About 3 or 4 weeks ago now, I was down in Western Grove and preached on frogs. I think I've preached that message at this church at one time. Not sure, but preached on frogs and snakes and lions. Now, lions are one of those things that are both good and bad in the Bible. Jesus is called the Lion of Judah, remember? But Satan is also referred to as that horrible lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour. So they're good and they're bad. They're both ways. And this one today, of course, is a snake. I would have brought some snakes, but I was afraid some of you wouldn't be real happy with that. So didn't. I did bring frogs when I preached on frogs, but no snakes today. But I don't know if you're aware or not. I imagine you probably are because Brother Lanny talks about it all the time, and I talk about it a lot, maybe not even as much as he does, but the desire and the need for revival. Boy, we need revival. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to just think with me just a moment. How many of you here this morning have been in a church or seen a situation where there was a real revival? Now, I'm not talking about evangelistic meetings, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about soul winning. I'm not talking about evangelism. Revival brings those things about. But revival is for a church. And revival is for Christians, not lost people. The very word itself, it's a Latin word that comes from two words. Re, which is again, and vive, which is live. And so it's alive again, literally, being alive again. And thank God, we have a church that's not dead by any stretch of the imagination. But folks, we're not experiencing revival. Do you know that? I don't say that as an insult or a criticism. I do not know of a Southern Baptist church in the United States that is experiencing a revival. Do you, Brother Lanny? There are some churches, some in Canada, and there's a couple of them across America that are experiencing revival. But they're not Baptist, and they're not Southern Baptist. Well, I wish they were. I wish ours was. But there's some things that are kind of preliminaries to revival, and I think we're going to find them in this story today about the snake bite, okay? Acts chapter 28, would you stand with me, please, and let's read together. beginning in verse number 1. Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Now when they had escaped, now this is the Apostle Paul and those that were with him on the ship, they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. For a lot of reasons I'm not going to go into right now, but for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, and because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper, a snake, you may have a translation that literally calls it a snake. It may call it a serpent. This particular one calls it a viper, but it's a snake. A viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Came out and bit him. Boy, literally got him on the hand. And so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, and by the way, they knew what this creature was. They were natives there. They lived there. They knew what poisonous snakes looked like, and they knew this one was deadly poison. Look what they said. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, because Paul... When that snake bites down on you, we're not on. Let's see if it's my fault. It may be. Is this any better? Yeah, there we go. It's my fault. I didn't turn the mute off. I've been muting myself. I need to do that from time to time. My wife does it occasionally for me. But all right, let's get back to our scripture. Anyway, they knew that this was a poisonous snake, and they knew that something bad was going to happen, and a lot of things going on here. That snake was holding on to him. When they get their fangs into you, it's kind of hard to get them to let go. I mean, but the Bible says he shook it off. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer." Little presumption here, whom though he has escaped the sea, he didn't drown, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature, the snake, into the fire, and he suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time, boy, they were watching this, and they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and they said that he was a god. Boy, how fickle. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Jesus came riding in on a colt. And they were throwing palm leaves out and putting their coats out for that colt to walk on and hailing and shouting, "Hail Hosanna!" Do you know what they were hollering 7 days later? "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" The top of their voice. Now, from being a terrible man that was supposed to die because of a snake bite, now he's a god. Verse 7, in that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Boy, now he's got a crowd coming. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, my prayer this morning is simply this. Teach us from your word what you want us to know about this incident here, obviously. But more than that, how does it apply to our life and our ministry and our church here at Osage? Teach us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, from your word. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Three simple little things that I want to look at. First of all, how do you find the snake, the devil? Well, let me say something. He's not hard to find, okay? He is not hard to find, but there are some things that will bring him out of the woodpile, okay? There's some things that help bring him out. First of all, start a fire. Start a fire. Now, we're on the verge of that right here. I have preached in a whole bunch of churches just in our association here, and seen kind of every kind of church. And folks, based on most of what I've seen, we are very different from the rest of the churches in the association. We're having folks saved. We're having folks added. We got things going on around here. The amazing thing, these 17 folks down in Waco today living with the homeless, ministering down there. Amazing things going on. And there's a fire going on around here. We're not seeing revival yet, but we're seeing a fire. And if the fire starts, we'll begin to see a revival real quick. The next thing, gather sticks. You got to find people. You got to find people. Let me say something to you. Brother Lanny and I are not going to find the people to fill this church up. First of all, that's not our job. Did you know that? Because you know where they're at. They're your neighbors. They're your friends. They're folks that you work with. You're the one that needs to bring them in. That's your responsibility. It really is. I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be nasty. I'm just saying, I'm just putting the responsibility where it belongs. It's your responsibility to bring them in. This is a great church. I would never have any hesitation in inviting someone to Osage Baptist Church. In fact, I would be thrilled to have that opportunity and thrilled to invite them in. And every chance I get, I do that. I invite them in. But you have a lot more chances than I do because you're around a lot more people than I am on a daily basis. And so we got the fire started. We've got a church. You got to gather the sticks. And then you need to encourage the saved folks that are here. We need to be an encouragement to each other. And thank God I see an awful lot of that going on in this church. Encourage each other. Strengthen each other. Help each other. That's what we're supposed to do. And you're great to do that. And then watch out with the fire. We need to be careful how we build the fire. It needs to be built right. Brother Greg, I appreciate so much what you did this morning. Brother Greg pointed out something in our Sunday school lesson that had really been bothering me all week long as I'd studied it, and apparently it was bothering you also. Folks, we need to be careful that we stay in line with the Word of God. Folks, we've not only to preach the Bible and teach the Bible, we've got to live by it. We've got to stay in line with the Bible. Watch what kind of fire. I tell you, there's a lot of things that will stir people up. There's a lot of things that will get a crowd. There's a lot of people that will get people excited. But it may be the wrong thing and go in the wrong direction. This has got to be based on the Bible, based upon the Word of God. So we got to watch the fire. Be careful. And when it gets hot, the devil will come out. And now that's where the problem starts for us. You say, preacher, you told us we need to do this. And then you're saying as soon as we get that fire built and the fire gets hot, the devil's going to come after us. You're exactly right. You know, the devil is not attacking us a whole lot around here. Yet. But when we get into revival, folks, when things start heating up around here, boy, the devil's going to attack. And that's the time when we've got to stand for one another and stand for the Word of God and stand for our church and be what God wants us to be. It has been my experience over the years, and thank God, I have had the opportunity. I asked you earlier just to think about whether or not you'd ever been in a revival. God has blessed me in an amazing way down through the years. I've had the opportunity to be in 3 revivals over the years. We pastored a church several years ago in Canyon City, Colorado, and we saw that church literally explode. That thing got on fire. We went for an entire year without having any kind of an organized service where there wasn't somebody saved. Every service, it didn't matter, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation, wherever we went, people got saved. Everywhere. And people just came. They just came. And they just came. Why? Because God was sending them. Because revival was taking place. And as I said earlier, when revival takes place, then evangelism and soul winning takes place. They're a result of revival. The revival has to come first. That's God's order of things. But remember, when it gets hot, he'll bite the one closest to the fire. Why did the serpent bite Paul? Because Paul was the one putting the sticks on the fire. And when he came out of the fire, the first one he saw was Paul, and he got him by the hand. And that's the way he always works. Adam sinned. Why? Because God wanted him stopped. David sinned. Why? Because God wanted him stopped. Judas sinned, obviously, because God wanted him stopped. We sin. Why? Because God wants us stopped. Remember, the devil always attacks, always bites that one closest to the fire. Just a warning, Brother Lanny. You get the first bite. No, he knows that. See, I'm teasing, but he knows that. He knows that because he's the closest one. And boy, the devil's bite is a terrible, terrible thing. But let's look at how Paul handled the bite, okay? Going down to verse number 4, 5, and 6. And it talks about how Paul handled this bite, and he handled it exactly right. First of all, he shook the snake off. And the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist him and he'll flee. Shake him off. Shake him off and he'll flee from you. That's Bible. That's what God says. Just shake him off. He'll go bother somebody else. You'll say, preacher, is that fair? Sure it is. It's their problem now. They need to shake him off. See, we've all got their responsibility. Just shake him off. Last week, I ordered something for the church. Didn't get anybody's permission. Well, I did. I got David Lair's permission to do it. He's one of the deacons, and so I knew he was powerful and could do that. But I ordered 4 mole chasers. We have a yard that is literally covered with moles. It's like walking on a sponge. It is horrible. He can't hardly mow the yard from that thing bouncing. And so I ordered 4 mole chasers. Now, it doesn't kill moles. You know what it does? You stick them in the ground and it vibrates. Every 30 seconds, it puts out an ultrasonic vibration that runs the moles off. Now, where are they going to go? I don't care. I'll just be very frank with you. I don't care. That becomes the next person's problem to get a mole chaser. Maybe we can just chase them plumb out of the county eventually, but I wanted them out of my yard. And so I got something that would chase them out. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Just tell him no. Just tell him no, because he's going to throw everything in the world at you. And the more on fire our church gets, and the more our church grows, and the more God sends souls to us to be saved, the harder the devil's going to work. And you know what? He's going to work on you individually. I saw something the other day I really liked. It said there is no I in team. Now, have you ever heard that expression? No I in team. Everybody. Well, everybody won't say it because the team needs to pull together. But let me tell you something. I is the very center of revival. R-E-V-I-V-A-L. If Osage Baptist Church is going to have a revival, it's up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to Brother Lanny. It is up to both of us, okay? Individually, it's up to us. But it's up to all of us as individuals. Have you really been praying for revival? Now, I do not believe you can just pray down a revival. Revival's up to God. God does that. But revival has always started with a very small number. Usually just 1 or 2 people three or four people who really care, who are really interested, who really want revival. And they begin to pray. And then folks begin to join them. And suddenly there's a whole bunch of people and revival breaks out. But it all starts with I. Remember, I is the very center of revival. So, shake off the snake. Secondly, don't swell up. I have seen so many Christians over the years swell up. Get their little feelings hurt. Now, let me tell you this morning, you know how to never get your little feelings hurt? Don't have little feelings. If you don't have little feelings, your little feelings will never get hurt. Have big feelings. Because we got a big God. Don't swell up. They were waiting for him to fall down and swell up and die. Don't swell up. He didn't swell up. Don't get bitter. Get better. Don't get bitter. Get better. Direct your anger at the devil. Not at the church. Not at somebody in the church. Point your anger at the devil. He started it all and he is guilty of it all, okay? It's his fault. Don't give in or give up. Just get busy for God. And then don't die to God's service. I've seen a lot of folks swell up. And I've seen a lot of folks die over the years. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean? They just drift away. They just disappear. They're faithful. They're here. They're praying. They're singing. And all of a sudden, they're just missing and missing and missing. And then oftentimes go off and get into all kinds of things that they ought not to be in. But they die to the Lord." And folks, I'll tell you what, I would rather die physically than die to the Lord. Just take me home, Lord. I've prayed that many times over the years. Lord, just take me home. If you can't use me anymore, take me home. Get me out of the way. And just let me go where you are. Third thing I want to look at this morning, the effect of overcoming the bite. The effect of overcoming the bite. Look, if you will, back in verse number 6 now. "However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Boy, now all of a sudden, this horrible criminal that ought to die is a god. "In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days." And I think all of that has to do with what has happened to Paul already. "And it happened that the father of Publius," and now folks, I do not believe in coincidence at all in the Lord's work. It's always the Lord's will. And this man was sick, probably sick before Paul ever landed. "It happened the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, and Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him, and he healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases all came and were healed." People will graciously accept you. People will seek your help. As I said earlier, revival always starts with something very small, but then people begin to come. Nothing succeeds like success. I remember, my wife will remember vividly, we had a situation. Our Wednesday nights, like the Sunday nights here, were given to prayer. We would, I'd do a little short, maybe 5-10 minute devotional, and then we'd divide up, pass out prayer requests, divide up in groups of 3 or 4, and we would pray, sometimes until midnight, but we would pray. And we were taking prayer requests one night, and a fellow that had never been there before, distinguished-looking gentleman, come in. He raised his hand. I said, "Yes, sir, do you have a prayer request?" He said, "I sure do." He said, "I came here directly from the doctor." And he said, "I was diagnosed today with an inoperable brain tumor. Could you please pray for me?" And I said, yes, sir, we certainly will. I said, we'll do more than that if you don't mind. He said, what's that? I said, would you come down here to the front of the church and let us lay hands on you and pray for you? He said, oh, I'd be glad to. And so he came, and we laid hands on him. We prayed for him. And he kept coming back then every Wednesday night. Didn't come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, come on Wednesday night. He would come, and we'd pray, and I'll never forget. I don't know how long it was, maybe like 5-6 weeks. He came in one Wednesday night, and he was just bouncing. His face was just radiating. And he ran all the way up to the front where I was. And I said, preacher, can I say something tonight? Can I say something tonight? I said, well, sure you can. He said, I just came here from the doctor again. But he said, it's different now. He said, the tumor's gone. The doctor's astonished. I'm astonished. And the tumor is gone. And I know it's because of the prayer of this church. And he said, Sunday morning, you're in for a shock. I thought, well, he's going to come back and testify. He's going to come back Sunday and testify. Well, he did, but he brought with him about 50 people. And I said, who are all these people? He said, I'm a deacon at the Methodist Church. And he said, I came to your church on a Wednesday night because we don't have Wednesday night service. And our preacher doesn't believe in prayer. He said, I asked him to pray at a staff meeting and he wouldn't do it. So he said, I came to your church because we heard that your prayers in this church get answered. And I was desperate. And I came where something was happening, and it happened. And all these folks followed me over here. Well, I got a call Monday morning from the Methodist pastor. What do you think you're doing? I said, what do you think you're doing? I understand your church doesn't pray. Well, I suppose we have people that pray. I said, then that answers my question. Please don't bother me again. I got work to do. And I hung the phone up. That was the beginning of seeing a church go from about 50, 60 people, I guess, where the pastor had just stolen $100,000 and left town with a woman that wasn't his wife. We jumped over 900 in just a year. Had to go to 2 services. And we were seeing people saved every service. Why? Now, it had nothing to do with me. Okay? It had nothing to do with me at all. I had no idea what was going on. God just sent a miracle, and then he sent revival. And I truly believe God could do the same thing at Osage Baptist Church. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I'd go somewhere else. I'm just being honest with you. I love this church. I love your pastor. I'd lay down and die for this guy. I love the deacons in this church. I love you. But I believe God can, and I believe God will do something amazing, amazing in this church. Nothing succeeds like success. No one has confidence in a loser. The story of our success will spread like a wildfire. I'll tell you what Arkansas is really good for. And I don't mean this as I love Arkansas. That's why I'm living here. I could live anywhere I want to. I'm retired, you know. Gossip spreads faster in Arkansas than any place I've ever lived. This will be all over Green Forest, Berryville. Get to Harrison before the day's over. Because of our rural environment, there is a network of folks who just connect with one another. And a lot of folks are interrelated, not just as friends, but relatives. And so it doesn't take long for something to spread. And boy, I'll tell you what, if revival breaks out at Osage Baptist Church, it'll spread throughout this county and the next county and this end of the state like a fire, a wildfire out of control. It could happen, okay? The Bible says that worry, in Proverbs 12:25, I think, yeah, I've got it up there. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weights you down. A cheerful word picks you up. Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. Happiness is contagious. Victory is contagious. The Bible says Paul was blessed and honored, and all of his personal needs were met. Look, if you will, about in verse 10, the last verse there in our text, 28:10, and they also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. They provided it. Paul didn't ask for it. Paul did what the Lord wanted him to do, and God took care of it. Just as he's taking care of our church. As Brother Lanny said, so little is ever said here about offerings, yet our offerings are great. They could be better. You know what? That's true. They could always be better. I could give more. Then they'd be better, wouldn't they? But God has blessed us in amazing, amazing ways. And I think the blessings are just started. Now, let me say something. Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then Philippians 4:19, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Let me close with this. This has not been an evangelistic message at all. It's been a revival message, but I can't close without talking to you about salvation. Okay? If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, now listen to me, you're already snake bit. You already are. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Based on John 3:18, it says, he who does not believe is condemned already. Folks, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you're not going to be condemned. You are condemned already and headed right straight to hell. And that cannot be softened. I know a lot of preachers trying to do that now. And there's preachers that are standing now and saying, well, there really isn't a hell. That's just something Jesus used to try to scare people into following him. No, there is a hell, a literal burning hell that lasts for eternity. And if you don't know Christ as Savior, that's where you go. You're condemned. You are condemned already, he said. The natives believe Paul would die from the snake bite, but he lived. And you know what? So can you. Staying in John, over in chapter 11, and verse 25 and 26, God says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Paul didn't die. You don't have to. Oh, physically, yeah, someday we're going to all die. I understand that. But, see, let me explain something, and I'm through. You have never seen me. This is not me. This is a house I live in. And someday this house is going to be gone. It's going to die and decay and be done away with. This house will be gone, but folks, I'm on the inside. You can't see me. You can't see my soul. But my soul is entrusted to Jesus Christ for all eternity. And one day, he's going to simply reach down and get a hold of my soul and snatch it out of this body and take it to heaven to be with him eternally. Because that soul will never die. I cannot die. Oh, my body can die, but I cannot die. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He that lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? If you do, you need Jesus as Savior. If you know Jesus as Savior, let me challenge you. Put something in your house. I don't know where you pray. I've got a place I go to pray. I don't know where you pray. I don't know where you're going to be every day to pray. But you need to have a place. And in that place, you need to put a great big word there, revival, and make the I bigger than the rest of the letters. And every time you pray, say, Lord, send revival to Osage Baptist Church. Lord, send revival to Osage Baptist Church. And you know what? God loves you. And God will answer that prayer. In His time, I understand that. But He'll answer that prayer if we'll ask Him. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Pastor's going to be right down here at the front. And if you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you've never asked Him to be your Savior, the Bible says you're condemned already. And I'm going to ask you, just come down here and take the pastor's hand. Say, Preacher, Pastor, I want to go to heaven. Would you show me how? I'll guarantee you, He will. Or I will. Somebody will. We will show you how to go to heaven. Because God gave us the instruction book. We got the map right here. And boy, it's just a step away from you. Did you know that? Heaven is just a step away from every person in the world. Just take that first step this morning. Christians, is there something in your life that really, really working you over? I know somebody that can help you with it. His name is Jesus. Won't you come this morning? Spend some time on your knees before Him. You might want to just come this morning and pray for revival. Whatever. You make the decision God wants you to make today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for the time together this morning. Thank You for prayer. Because we know, Lord, that that's what gets everything done.